Welcome back to Entertainment Talk. I'm your host, Matthew, and today here to celebrate a very special company who makes very, very special films. So what I thought I would do, because yes, I know that Pixar was not created in 1995. I'm well aware that they existed and made things before 1995. But what I thought I would do, which would be fun, is a little cool, important, special film to me called Toy Story was released in 1995. Now, I've already recorded the 30th anniversary special for Toy Story. Both of these should be getting uploaded at pretty much the same time. But to me, when I think about, you know, Pixar, to me, they did start in 1995 fully. Yes, they made some shorts before that. They did some other things before that. But I would like to mark it, as a 1995, because that's when they released the first feature film, which was indeed that special little film called Toy Story. So what we're going to do here today, I'm sure Toy Story will of course come up in the discussion because we have those films to discuss, is I've got a bunch of information here about some of Pixar's history. I've got the full list of their films, which wasn't actually as long as a list as I thought it was, but you know, 30 years of films. But thought I'd start by talking about my thoughts and feelings on Pixar, what they are, what they mean to me, what they've given to me. I obviously go through their list of films, talk about all of those, give my not full commentary thoughts on all their films, otherwise we'll be here all day, but give some notes and some thoughts on each of their films. We're not going to be ranking them here today, but we'll be talking about those, and then we'll go through some of Pixar's history and celebrate this very special studio. Now, it's been very interesting since a lot of people mention this particular time period, the sort of 2010 onwards, the sort of Toy Story 3 onwards period of Pixar, as to those people, not to me, but to those people, being kind of not as special, which I disagree with and have some different thoughts on. But what do Pixar mean to me? What do they mean to me? I think you're talking about 30 years of excellence, 30 years of consistency, 30 years of very special films, and 30 years of, yeah, two words that really come to mind when you say Pixar to me, which is excellence and consistency. Okay, has every single film they've made been 10 out of 10? No studio has released films that are all 10 out of 10. No studio's ever done that. No TV company's ever done that, and no video game company's ever done that. Released games that are all 10 out of 10, and TV shows are all 10 out of 10s. Although a big chunk of Pixar's films, to me, probably at least over 60% of them, are possibly 9s and 10s out of 10s. But Pixar is my favourite studio. I believe that they are the best film studio. I believe that they are easily the most consistent studio. And even as somebody who is a big lover and big defender post-Endgame of the MCU, I do think they're more consistent than Marvel Studios. Not to put Marvel Studios down, but I think they've been slightly less consistent than Pixar. I think Pixar has, in my opinion, I know this is a very big thing to say, I think it's possibly, now I've not watched every film from every studio, Pixar to me is the only company really, or at least only the only film company, that I don't believe have ever put out a bad film. I have never finished a Pixar film and gone, that was bad, I didn't like it. I've never done that before, and I cannot say that about any other film studio. Don't get me wrong, I've walked away from some of their films and thought, okay, that was pretty good, it was enjoyable. Maybe some of their more simple films that they've put out and those sorts of things. So again, you're not going to hit, you know, 30 years worth of 10 out of 10s with your films, but for the most part, they really, really have. And again, not to drift away from my own opinion, but particularly within the last 5 to 10 years, so beyond the sort of 2010 Toy Story 3 period, the narrative around Pixar has really kind of confused me, because they've been getting blamed, or I suppose moaned at, for not being original enough, which is really weird to me, because I think, yes, they've put out a chunk of sequels, and yes, they're about to put out a Toy Story 5, which is a fourth sequel to a franchise, and they're going to come out with, obviously, probably an Inside Out 3, obviously we know Incredibles 3 is on the way, etc, etc. But when I say most consistent, or, you know, consistency, yes, they come out with sequels, they've never had a reboot, never had a remake, they've had one spin-off, which was a film that I liked, but I've put out far more originals than sequels. So that's like a bit of a narrative that I've never kind of understood. Whether it to you is, okay, you don't think their films have been consistent, or you don't like them as much as I do, that's more fair, I suppose. But yeah, the most excellent, the most consistent, the only studio I can think of, at least film studio, that I can think of that I don't put out, think has put out a bad film. What was it? I remember a couple of, some time ago, I can't remember if it was months or years, and somebody said to me, I think on one of our Gaming Talk podcasts, they said, okay, because I love Naughty Dog and I love Pixar films, they said, okay, if you could only have one of the two of them for the rest of your life, which would you pick? And as much as I love Naughty Dog, you know, Crash Bandicoot, Jack and Daxter, Uncharted, Last of Us, love them. I'm basically, whether you ask me to choose, we can't really ask me to choose Pixar or Toy Story films, because that doesn't really kind of make sense, because then I could cheat and say Pixar films, which would include Toy Story films, I guess. But if you were to say to me, okay, pick between this thing and Toy Story, or pick between this thing and Pixar, Toy Story and Pixar are always going to win all of those choices. And I guess, again, if you say Toy Story or Pixar, I go with Pixar, because it includes them anyway. And the thing I kind of said at the time was, if you were to say to me, forget the Naughty Dog thing for a second, if you were to say to me, let's say from here on out, all Pixar films are cancelled. So Toy Story 5, obviously I'd be particularly devastated about that. But, you know, Hopper and Incredibles 3 and all the rest of the films, they said they're never going to release a film again. You're then saying to me, I never would then get the experience of, first of all, being excited for another Pixar film, whether it's Incredibles, Monsters, Inc., Toy Story, new thing, sequel, whatever. And you're telling me I would never get the chance again to go to a cinema, see that wonderful Pixar intro that's become so iconic, and then just witness whatever it is that they have next. I don't know what that would do to me specifically, but that would be very, very bad. I would be very particularly upset by that. Of course, I don't live in that reality, which is great. But that would, it would put a particular dampener on things, and it would, yeah, not having Pixar in my life would really be just horrible. It would just be horrible. They've consistently served me films I've loved for 30 years, and that would really be quite terrible. But see, it's again, goes beyond the Toy Story thing to me. Obviously, I've got my particular love of those, but you know, talk about just a trinity, let's say, or what I consider to be the trinity of Pixar, which is Toy Story, Monsters Inc., and The Incredibles. Those are the three, like, big key. And probably the most three popular. I know Finding Nemo's kind of up there, and there's, you know, Ratatouille, Wall-E, Up, and a bunch of other ones. But Monsters Inc., Incredibles, and Toy Story, obviously, Toy Story is obviously their big, big thing. But those are the three that really, to me at least, stood out and become franchises in of their own. So yeah, really, really particularly love those. But what else do I want to say about Pixar here? I don't know. Just, yeah, the most consistent, the most excellent, and happy 30th anniversary. Again, goes beyond 30 years, but I'm going to kind of ignore that part. I believe I've seen everything they've released. I've watched every single Pixar film, a bunch of them more than once. Some of them I have only seen once, but a bunch of them more than once. Seen all of their shorts, I think, whether it's the shorts that they made before they became, you know, big full studio, seen all the shorts that they've made of other franchises, and just been a phenomenal 30 years for Pixar, I think. Even again, defending their last 5 to 10 years, if that needs defending per se, I suppose. But yeah, Pixar have just got, they've just got their way of doing things. Of course, the one thing they kind of go for is the heartwarming stuff, whether it's, you know, they're more on the death side, I suppose, with characters dying in certain franchises, whether it's the heartwarming moments, whether it's the messages that they send in their films, whether it's, you know, the companions that they have, the characters. Of course, the characters are enormous for these franchises. You've, of course, got, you know, Buzz and Woody, Jesse, Bo Peep, all the Toy Story characters. You've got all the Incredibles characters. You've got Nemo. You've got all the Up characters. You've got Wall-E. You've got Ratatouille. You've got Lightning McQueen. Lightning McQueen's actually interesting to me, because it's funny when people talk about Pixar and they go, oh, the Cars films, that's like the bump, that's the rough spot to them. But Lightning McQueen's actually like still really, really popular as a character, which is interesting, because it's sort of, I know that those three films aren't viewed as highly, or they're viewed to be like near the bottom compared to the rest. But anytime I see like posters of Pixar characters that have got like five or more on them, and merchandise or like studio stuff, it's always kind of like Buzz and Woody, Sully, Mike, maybe Wall-E, Lightning McQueen's usually in there, and then there's like one of the Incredibles or something like that. So Cars is a bit of an interesting one to me, because I mean, I think Lightning McQueen's fine, cool. I think the Cars films are fine and good. But it's funny to me how, like, yeah, those three films, I think particularly 2 and 3, get a little bit more viewed downwards, I suppose. But then the characters still just really popular. So, I don't know. That's always been a bit of a curious spot to me. And I suppose Cars has always been the sort of, when you talk about, like, oh, yeah, Pixar, Toy Story, and Incredibles, Finding Nemo, Up, Wall-E, Ratatouille, Monsters, Inc. You talk about all the big ones, and then people sort of go, oh yeah, but the Cars films, that's like the sort of spot. That's almost described in the way of, you know, when a TV show comes out for season one, and then it's like, ooh, shame about that second season. It's sort of like, oh yeah, Toy Story and Ratatouille, Up, Wall-E, Monsters, Inc., Finding Nemo, Incredibles, all really, really great. Ooh, Cars 2 and 3. It's sort of, it's a little bit of a shame, I suppose. But again, Cars 2 and 3, not as great, obviously, as some of their other films, but I think I watched those a couple of years ago, actually. I'd seen Cars 1 before. I think I'd seen Cars 2, but I made sure, I think it was for Disney's 100th birthday, and they put out Toy Story 1, and I had obviously a bit of a hankering for Pixar films, and I did like a full look through their library to like make sure I'd seen all their films, and I don't remember completely seeing 2 and 3. So I went and watched Cars 1, 2 and 3 like a couple of years ago, like, you know, properly for the first time in a bit. And they're still good. Cars 2's got some odd bits and pieces, but again, I wouldn't label it as a bad film. I would label it as a film that I like, a film that is okay to good. Can see why people don't like it, maybe, or think it's a bit of a, okay, it's a slightly weak spot for Pixar, but still, again, keeps the consistency to me of no bad films. And that's just my opinion, I suppose. What else did I want to say about Pixar? They're also just a film studio that, like I kind of said on the Toy Story podcast, that if you were to say to me, okay, on such and such date, whatever date it's going to be, there's going to be a new Pixar film coming out, and I don't know which one it is, don't know if it's a sequel, an original film, like new IP or whatever, probably wouldn't be a reboot or a remake, because they don't really do those. If you were to just say to me, Matt, it's a Pixar film coming out in a couple of weeks, or whatever it would be, go to cinema, just ask them to see the newest Pixar film, but I wouldn't know what it is, what it's about, or anything like that, I would trust them to make anything, Because even for the last, I guess, bunch of films I've reviewed for Pixar on Entertainment Talk, my sentiment at the end of those has been, okay, you did it again, you did another one again, you've kept the consistency and the excellence again, and you guys just do whatever you want, just do whatever you want, and I'll be there. Don't mind what it is, as long as it's gonna have the good Pixar stuff, as long as it's gonna be at least a good Pixar film. I can guarantee that, we can guarantee pretty much that you're going to enjoy it, really. I mean, that's the way that I look at it. So, and I don't think it's even a case that, am I a Pixar defender necessarily? Because I know I described the thing a minute ago about, okay, the MCU's post-Endgame era has not been viewed as, you know, particularly incredible, or at least, you know, not as good as the Infinity Saga, etc. But I think it's sometimes about trying to, I guess from your own viewpoint, see what a studio is trying to do. And I've tried to see what Marvel has tried to do. Whereas I think with Pixar, it's, I don't know that you need to be a Pixar defender necessarily. Because I don't know that there's that many. Okay, there's the people out there that are kind of, they think Pixar's fallen off a bit. They're not as great as they used to be, but I don't really know anybody that sort of, they don't like Pixar films or anything like that. They might like their own certain favourites, you know, the big ones or whatever, and maybe they've missed a few of the smaller films. But I don't think, because yeah, there are people out there that, again, comparing to MCU, the sort of second consistent studio, I think, there are people out there that don't like comic book films, don't like Marvel films, but, and that's your thing, I suppose, if it is. But I can't recall coming across anybody that, like, just outright doesn't like Pixar films. They might not like a certain, you know, selection of them, because there are quite a few different franchises. But yeah, especially when it comes to their big stuff as well. Again, people have got their views about, you know, Lightyear and Toy Story 4. But when it comes to, like, you know, the first three Toy Stories, Art Bully, Ratatouille, Incredibles films, Monsters, Inc., most people like the sort of big core Pixar stuff, but I like all of it. I like all of it, again, to varying degrees and whatnot. So there's that. All right, let's move past the chitty chat part of this and talk about their films, I suppose. So I've got their list of films here. Let me just. Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcast and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcast that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps, and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29. Kind of annoying they've done 29, because then you could say 30 years for 30 films. But 29 films over 30 years, 1995 to 2025. Just to read them out in chronological order, and then we'll go through them. You've got Toy Story, A Bug's Life, Toy Story 2, Monsters, Inc., Finding Nemo, The Incredibles, Cars, Ratatouille, Wall-E, and Up. Toy Story 3, Cars 2, Brave, Monsters University, Inside Out, The Good Dinosaur, Finding Dory, Cars 3, Coco, Incredibles 2, Toy Story 4, Onward, Soul, Luca, Turning Red, Lightyear, Elemental, Inside Out 2, and 2025's Elio. Alright, what do I think of each of these films? I think, again, you talk about excellence, consistency. When your first film is Toy Story, and obviously fast forward 30 years, it's one of the biggest films in the world, it's one of the most regarded, you know, highly regarded films in the world, and the most culturally important, you know, Disney animated Pixar films, whatever you want to use, contains some of the most iconic characters of all time, particularly obviously Buzz and Woody, and all the other characters in there. The interesting thing about that, I suppose, again, a first season of a show, a brand new show that comes out, and everybody loves a brand, you know, have you seen this excellent brand new show, that kind of thing. Second season comes out, bit of a not so great. That didn't happen here with Pixar, and to me that's never happened. They've never had the sophomore, obviously they've gone well past the sophomore slump, but they've never had that. But there was a potential there, I suppose, of you come out with something as important and as well regarded and as brilliant as Toy Story. Can you maintain that or go up from that? And they pretty much maintained that for a while, and then dipped a little bit, went back up, dipped a little bit, went back up. So yeah, great, very, very good, and I suppose very, very important that you come out with something like that 30 years ago, and again, you come out with some films that aren't as great as Toy Story, because obviously that's a possibility, but pretty damn good starting point, a pretty damn good starting point with Toy Story 1. Then you come out with a film that's a little bit more forgotten in a certain way, although lots of people, when it comes to Pixar announcing films, whether it's originals or sequels, have been asking for A Bug's Life 2 for quite some time. So you go from 1995 Toy Story 1 to 1998 A Bug's Life. A film I really like, a film I watched freshly, in a fresh way, I believe it was last year for Classic Reviews, and really, really liked it. Kind of quietly one of Pixar's more political films, which is an interesting way to go, and I think that worked, by the way. But one that sort of, I don't know if it's one that sort of got a small but dedicated crowd, but people really, really want a sequel. They really, really want a sequel. But yeah, Bug's Life in 1998. Then you come out with your very much not sophomore slump with Toy Story 2 1999, which will be coming up to its 30th anniversary in 4 years' time in 2029. One of the greatest sequels ever, if not the best sequel ever. When you think of twos for films, obviously people would talk about things like Terminator 2, Toy Story 2, probably some others. But yeah, you take what was great about the first film, you keep all the heart and soul and everything, you introduce, you know, Jesse, one of the series' most important characters, and you just keep things going. An iconic opening, which I cried at when I was very young because I thought Buzz Lightyear was dead. But yeah, an excellent, excellent continuation. And of course, we'll pick up with Toy Story 11 years after that. Moving on to, again, one of their biggest... excuse me, IP here. Monsters, Inc. Monsters Incorporated. Nobody calls it that, though. They everybody calls it Monsters, Inc. So, interesting. Mike and Sully, the big guy and the little guy, coming out with this monster film, I suppose, like this World of Monsters. I really love this film. I reviewed it, I think, a couple of years ago for Classic Reviews. Yeah, it's very, very big, very, very important in Pixar's history, particularly these two characters. Again, they're two that kind of appear on a lot of like Pixar posters and things like that for their some of their big things. Then we go from 2001 to 2003, so getting a little bit more consistent. Finding Nemo. I love Finding Nemo. It's one of my more favorite Pixar franchises, but not, again, not up there with the, the big three to me, which I already discussed what they are. Yeah, another really, really great film from Pixar there. Then you move on to 2004, The Incredibles, one of my outright favorite franchises ever, again alongside Toy Story and Monsters, Inc. Again, those sort of the three special Pixar ones to me. Probably my favorite group of superheroes outside of all the Marvel and DC stuff. They're great to have around. I really, really enjoyed the sequel as well, which we'll get onto in a bit. But yeah, another one that's got a very special place with me. Then you go on to Cars. Bit of a difference. Moving on to Cars, 2006, a couple of years later. Probably, yes, the best of the three. The best of the three Cars films. Yeah, that's another really, really great film as well. Obviously, again, Lightning McQueen kind of popping up for the first time ended up being a very important character for Pixar, as well as some other really great characters in there as well. Moving on to 2007, just a year later, with Ratatouille. Now, it's interesting that these three are back to back, Ratatouille, WALL-E, and Up, because they are, again, outside of the main big Pixar stuff, like, Toy Story, Monsters, Inc., Incredibles. These are really, really high regarded in Pixar's library. And I'm probably due a rewatch of all three, which I just didn't get around to doing this year. Now, I was in a little bit of a different place. I was at high school, things were a bit different. Still, obviously, cared about Pixar and loved Pixar and all that. Obviously, it had been a few years since Toy Story had been around. I actually, this might be a strange thing to say given the amount of praise I'm giving Pixar here. These are the three that kind of, they get brought up a lot in conversations when it comes to big, big Pixar films. But I don't have them as high regard as other people do. I don't know why that is, but I haven't probably seen them since they came out, which again, I was at high school and I've changed a bit since then. But I'm probably due an adult rewatch of Ratatouille, WALL-E, and Up. I like all three of them. I think they're all really great films, but it was just interesting kind of years later when you go to that post Toy Story 3 time period, and there was some of the conversation about, this is sort of around, Cars 2, Brave, Monsters University, which are the next ones that are up. And it's like, oh, can Pixar get back to Up, Ratatouille, and WALL-E? And I just, again, I was younger, I was, young kind of teenager, whatever, I was like 16 or whatever, and or around that time, and just didn't have them in as high regard. I know why people do. I'm just probably due a rewatch of them because it's been a minute since I've seen them. But three very interesting ones for Pixar. So then we move on to one of the golden gooses of Pixar, Toy Story 3. In 2010. Again, to some people, this was, again, that was 15 years ago. Some people mark that as kind of the end of the golden era of Pixar, and I understand, but also completely disagree. I suppose it's sort of when you come out with, like, you haven't got to Incredibles 2 yet, you haven't got to the other Monsters film yet. But you've done, I wonder if it was maybe a thing of, you've done your Up, Ratatouille, WALL-E, you've done, maybe kind of was supposed to be the end of the Toy Story stuff, or is, the wrap up of that trilogy. And I can see where the checkpoint is of, okay, the big three emotional ones to people, Ratatouille, WALL-E, Up, Incredibles, Nemo, Cars, the Toy Story stuff. And I think it's a, I don't think it's an end of an era, but it's a checkpoint, I think, in Pixar's history. Because then you started moving on to sequels and, a bunch of other stuff that we're going to cover here in a second. So an interesting time period, but obviously love Toy Story 3, phenomenal film, full of emotions for very particular reasons. Absolutely incredible stuff. I wonder if it's also a victim of this, what I'm about to describe. You go from Toy Story 3, one of the highest regarded films ever, one of the highest regarded Pixar films ever. And you got the furnace scene, you got Andy saying goodbye, and feels like an end of an era in a certain way, feels like a checkpoint. Then you go to Cars 2. Now, I understand. Now, I like Cars 2. I think it's okay to good. I do think it's probably Pixar's worst film. But if you're getting me to put them into a list, something mathematically has to go at the bottom of the list, and it would probably be Cars 2. I can see it's got some issues. I still don't think it's a bad film. But I think it's maybe a victim of, again, you come out of this incredible era. And maybe it was just the shift from Toy Story 3 to Cars 2 that maybe it was like, oh, Pixar, you know, people kind of wondering about, you know, oh, what's this? What's going on here kind of thing. So, yeah, it is what it is, I suppose. Then you move on to Brave. It's not one that always comes to mind when I think of Pixar films. I do like it. I do think it's good. And is, well, yeah, step up from Cars 2, but interestingly, decently good film. And then you move on to one that's is part of their big three, but isn't talked about in the same way, and I kind of get it. I guess the maybe is the prequel thing here. Because I said they haven't done any reboots and any remakes. They've done one, I think one prequel. I can't remember if Dory's a sequel, isn't it? One prequel and one spin-off. I remember liking Monsters University. I've not seen it for a bit of time. Again, a bunch of these I'm due a rewatch for, certainly. But there is 29 films here, so, you know. But it's a film I remember liking, so that's good. And then you move on to Inside Out, the first one in 2015, switching to different emotions. But yeah, I guess just to kind of go across the board here. So you've got Inside Out, Good Dinosaur, Finding Dory, Cars 3, which I think was a step up from 2. And then Coco. Because what you do here in a minute, you kind of go from the next set of post-Toy Story 3 films, which are all pretty good. All these are pretty good. Cars 3 is pretty good. Dory, again, I think is pretty good. Maybe not as good as Nemo, but pretty good. Then you've got Good Dinosaur. Good Dinosaur's in the same ballpark to me as Brave. It's like, I think Good Dinosaur's better than Brave. But they're kind of all just films that were there, I guess. I don't know. Maybe it was in a little bit of an era where Pixar was kind of figuring themselves out in a certain way. But again, you've got one, two. Within that set of five, you've got three new IP still. Inside Out, Good Dinosaur, and Coco. Obviously, Dory and Cars 3 are already part of something else. But all good films. All good films. I did rewatch Coco a couple of years, or it might have been last year actually. Again, it was when I was going through some Pixar films, and it was one I remembered, but I wanted to do a rewatch of. But Coco's really, really, really good as well. So, those are some of those. Then you move on to one of my genuine favorite Pixar films, Incredibles 2. I think it's better than the first one. Some people think that that's blasphemy, if that's the right word. I still love the first one. I don't know, it was great to have those characters back, obviously after quite a few years. I think nearly 10 years? 2018, 2004, no, it was like 14 years, which is way too long to wait. I love Incredibles 2. I think it's probably, possibly a top 5 Pixar film to me. But yeah, one that kind of, I don't know, when I hear discussion about this film, it's like, oh, it was great, but because it's not anywhere near to them as good as the first one, it, like, pushes that down, which I don't think is particularly fair, necessarily. But I guess you have the sophomore slump issue there for some people, but not for me. I really, really love Incredibles 2, and I walked away very, very happy from that film, and I'm really, really excited to see Incredibles 3 in, well, probably more than a couple of years. Then moving on to, I guess, another divisive one, Toy Story 4. Should they have made it? Should it have happened? Blah, blah, blah. I still love Toy Story 4. Do recognize it as probably the weakest of the four, but again, a weak Toy Story film or a weak Pixar film, in some people's opinions, is still to me a really, really great film. Forky's a great addition. Gabby Gabby's a really cool villain with an interesting story. Is it Bucky and Da B Bunny and Ducky? I think their names are Keegan and Peele's characters. The Bunny and the Duck character. I got Duke Kaboom. Of course, can't go wrong with Keanu Reeves. I don't have an issue with the ending, and it genuinely confuses me that when people saw the teaser for Toy Story 5, oh, how does Woody get back to the group? Well, they probably meet at the carnival or something. He didn't move to the other side of America or to the other side of the world. That's not far-fetched to me at all. But yeah, again, probably bottom of the four of the Toy Story films, but that's okay. Something mathematically has to be. But I still love it, and again, like I said in my Toy Story podcast that for the anniversary for this, it doesn't matter as long as it makes sense what the characters do, because that's important. I don't care about what the characters do in a Toy Story film because I just want to spend time with them, and that's what's important to me. Then moving into, unfortunately, the kind of COVID era of Pixar films, Onward, Soul, Luca, and Turning Red, because I think it was from. I remember seeing Onward on the big screen, and then Pixar returned to the big screen in 2022, didn't they? Onwards with Lightyear. Onward, I think, is really great. Again, it was unfortunately just a bit crushed by the pandemic. But Tom Holland, I think it was Chris Pratt, pretty great and all that. But yeah, another really great Pixar film. Then you've got, a bit of a trio of Soul, Luca, Turning Red. Now, I love Luca, I love Turning Red. I would argue that those are two top 10 Pixar films to me. Soul, not to kind of play on the name, I don't think it's got something missing in its soul, but it's a great film. I really like it. There's something missing in that film, though. I don't know what it is. And when they did re-release these three films, on the big screen, I did go and watch them when they came back out. I think it was like 22 or 23 that they did that. So that was really, really good. But particularly Luca and Turning Red to me are really big standouts in this list for me. Let's go on to Lightyear. This might sound hyperbolic. I think this is the most misunderstood film I've ever come across in my life, because when Pixar, who's known for making Toy Story, again, probably their most popular thing, gives you a poster for a character called Lightyear, and he really, really looks like Buzz Lightyear, and when the pitch is this is a film based on the person that the toy is based on, what is it about that that's confusing to people? Because I very specifically remember when this film came out, and I mean, yeah, people can say stupid stuff on the internet. Don't look on there, it's a silly place sometimes, especially Twitter. But when you look at a poster for it and you see it's called Lightyear and you see it's from Pixar, how do you not put two and two together? So when this film was coming out and I see comments of, oh, is this based on Toy Story? Is it about Buzz Lightyear? Is it based on something else? What do you think this film is about? What do you think this? Do you think it's not about Buzz Lightyear? Okay, yes, it's not about the toy because he does not look like a toy, because this is the human called Buzz Lightyear and this is his story. It kind of actually genuinely winds me up a little bit, and it really wound me up in 2022 when I kept seeing like, oh, what is this film? Who is it about? What character is it about? It's called Lightyear and he looks like Buzz Lightyear, so what do you think the film's about? Really wound me up. And I don't know if that contributed to the film's box office or whatnot. But I love this film. It gave me some Buzz Lightyear scenes that I wanted for a very long time, which is seeing like a light, well, not live action, but the person of Buzz Lightyear fighting Zurg in his suit and all that kind of cool stuff, and seeing, you know, him use the real guns and all that sort of thing. Very, very, very cool. Lots of iconic callbacks to Buzz Lightyear himself, like, you know, from the original Toy Story and stuff. really, really great. I did interview Angus McLean. I was lucky to get the chance to do that. I think that was a couple of years ago. Really nice guy. He was unfortunately let go by Pixar because of his film box office. But I love this film. If you simply just didn't like it, you didn't enjoy it, that's up to you. But if you, I just do not understand how people did not understand what this film was about. Very weird to me. But outright the most misunderstood film I've ever seen. Yeah. So there you go. Anyway. That's that. Let's move on to Elemental Inside Out 2 and Elio. Elemental film I really, really enjoyed. I remember at the time describing it as a bit of a more mature Pixar film. So I thought that was really, really great. Inside Out 2, absolutely love. Can't believe that was last year. But yeah, summer of last year. The highest grossing animated film of all time. Which makes me very, very, very happy that a Pixar film is at the top of that list. I don't mind which one it is. But a Pixar film, you know, from the greatest studio that I've ever come across, Pixar, at least to me, having a film be number one in the highest grossing category of the films that they make is something that's very, very cool. I don't get any of that money. In fact, some of that money was mine that I gave to them, very happily. But I was very, very happy when that happened, and it beat that silly Lion King remake, which is supposed to be live action, so why is it in the animated list anyway? But lovely, wonderful film full of, well, to say it's full of emotions is a cliche, but brilliant, brilliant stuff. Then Elio, which I also really, really enjoyed. Really great Pixar film, which I reviewed very recently as well. Alright, let's finish off with... I must press close on my recorder. That would have been very bad to do. Let's just read... I've got a couple of paragraphs of information here. Pixar, says here, doing business as Pixar Animated Studios, yeah, whatever, is an American animation studio based in Emeryville, California, known for its critically and commercially successful computer animated feature films. Pixar is a subsidiary of Walt Disney Studios and is also much better than Walt Disney Studios. It doesn't say that here, that's my opinion. A division of the Disney Entertainment segment of the Walt Disney Company. Pixar started in 1979, again, I know it wasn't 1995, as part of the Lucasfilm Computer Division. It was known as the Graphics Group before its spin-off as a corporation in 1986, with funding from Apple co-founder Steve Jobs, who became its major shareholder. Disney announced its acquisition of Pixar in 2006, so much later into, yeah, nearly like... yeah, 11 years after Toy Story even came out. But they were collaborating with them. So, Disney announced its acquisition of Pixar in January 2006 and completed it in May 2006. Pixar is best known for its feature films, technologically powered by RenderMan, the company's own implementation of the industry standard RenderMan interface specification image rendering API. There you go. The studio's mascot is Luxo Jr., a desk lamp from the studio's 1986 short film with the same name. That's the lamp that jumps on the eye for each of the intros. Pixar has produced 29 feature films, with its first being Toy Story in 1995, which is also the first fully computer animated feature film, and its most recent film was Elio in 2025. The studio have also produced many short films. As of July 2023, its feature films have earned over $15 billion at the worldwide box office, with an average gross of $589 million per film. Toy Story 3, 2010, Finding Dory, 2016, Incredibles 2, 2018, Toy Story 4, 2019, and Inside Out 2, 2024, all grossed over $1 billion. And are among the 50 highest grossing films of all time. Moreover, 13 of Pixar's films are in the 50th highest grossing animated films of all time. As of August 2025, Inside Out 2 was the second highest grossing animated film of all time. It is number one right now. It's not been updated. Pixar has earned 23 Academy Awards, 10 Golden Globe, and 11 Grammy Awards, along with numerous other awards and acknowledgements. Since its inauguration in 2001, 11 Pixar films have won Academy Awards for Best Animated Feature, including Finding Nemo 2003, Incredibles 2004, Ratatouille 2007, Wall-E 2008, Up 2009, Toy Story 3 and 4, Brave 2012, Inside Out 2015, Coco 2017, Soul 2020, Toy Story 3 and Up were also nominated for Academy Awards for Best Picture. In February 2009, Pixar executives John, Brad, Peter, Andrew, and Lee were presented with the Golden Lion for Lifetime Achievement by the Venice Film Festival. The physical award was ceremoniously handed to Lucasfilm's founder, George Lucas. I'm not sure why that was, but okay. Oh yeah, probably because of their history with Lucasfilm and that. Yeah, that's Pixar. Very, very important, very, very special. And especially with, I just want to add one more in here because it got all these awards in here, but they also won my heart as well as many other people's. I just thought I'd throw that in there. It's just a fun thing. But yeah, I very, very much look forward to seeing what Pixar do in the future, whether it's, you know, the more unknown things like Hopper, whether it's the more known stuff, the big stuff like Toy Story 5, Incredibles 3. I wonder what other sequels we might get to other stuff. I don't know. They've got like a cat film coming out as well. Let me just see actually. They might have upcoming films. That would be a good list to look at, wouldn't it? No, that's franchises. Okay, upcoming films. 5 upcoming films have been announced. Films with release dates are Hopper, directed by Daniel Chong, and scheduled to be released 6th of March 2026. Toy Story 5, directed by Andrew Stanton, and scheduled to be released June 19th, 2026. And Gatto, directed by Enrico Casarosa, and scheduled to be released June 18th, 2027. Currently in development are Incredibles 3, directed by Peter Son, and Coco 2, with director Lee Urich and co-director Adrian Molina returning in their respective roles. I do think Brad Bird's writing Incredibles 3, but for some reason he's not directing. He was supposed to be, so yeah. Anyway, that's Pixar. Thank you for 30 years of excellence. Thank you for being part of my life and a lot of people's lives, I guess, for 30 years, and they'll continue going. You know, there was a time in and around COVID when, like, you know, Lightyear didn't do well at the box office. There's a few of their other COVID films that, like, didn't do that well. And I got a little bit worried about Pixar myself, I've got to be honest. But we seem to have got past that a little bit. And of course, Inside Out 2 would have been a big, big win for them. Elemental did really well. I know Elemental and Inside Out 2 obviously did really, really well. I don't think Elio did, unfortunately. But Inside Out 2 would have been a big box office boost for them. And we'll see what happens with these other films. Anyway, if you'd like to give your thoughts, feelings, questions, comments on Pixar, what do you think of what I mentioned in terms of the sort of post-Toy Story 3 era? Have you enjoyed them as much as I have, which is difficult, but you might have? Do you think Pixar's completely fallen off? What's your favourite Pixar films? Any underrated or overrated Pixar films to you? Again, I think their most underrated two are probably Incredibles 2 and Lightyear. I don't really think they have any overrated ones. I know what I said about Wall-E, Ratatouille and Up, but I don't think they're overrated, per se. Anyway, your thoughts, videos, questions, comments, matthew@entertainmenttalk.org. Social media is either eTalkUK or Entertainment Talk, and there's information in your show notes. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org. TV, games, films, May Night podcasts. Take a look out for what we do. You can support us by, of course, listening to more podcasts. We've got a bunch of Pixar stuff. I've reviewed their films for the last bunch of years. Reviewed some of them for classic reviews, which you can take a look at. And all that other kind of stuff as well. But you can listen to more of what we've done on the places I mentioned, word of mouth, social media, and if someone mentions a thing that we've podcasted on, please tell them about said podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, ad-free podcast review options. Look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news, Geek Town Radio Tuesdays and geektown.co.uk. Look out for those bits and pieces as well if you'd like to. And YouTube, Entertainment Talk Plays for all of our video game stuff. Anyway, thank you, Pixar. I love you. Keep doing what you're doing. I'll be there. And I'll see you next time. Goodbye.